Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. Thank you, Ted Williams. Wednesday, June the 24th, 2020. How about that? 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour, and here we are. Now, I have got a lot of housekeeping to do in this hour, so hopefully that's what we're going to be able to do. Now, first of all, I do want to thank Andrew Wyatt for coming on the program, because that is a tough, tough case. The whole Bill Cosby case is very, very tough, because in general, he was such a beloved, beloved person in society for so many years, doing so many good things, which you can't deny. The donations to colleges and the funny performances and the stand-up act and so on and so forth. But then you have these charges that were brought against him, which he currently sits in prison for. So it's very hard. It's very hard to discuss that, but hopefully we try to get to the bottom of the case here and the bottom of all the muck and see what we find. Now, if anybody has any opinion on that interview or Bill Cosby in general, I'd be interested in hearing it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That stuff is all very fascinating to me, and I'm interested to know how you interpret it. Do you believe Bill Cosby might have been framed? Do you believe that maybe his biggest crime was just being unfaithful to his wife? Which may be the case. I don't know. I wasn't there. And I guess hopefully the justice system will do what it needs to do, and we'll find out in the end. But there has been an appeal granted. So we will see where that goes from this point on. Very interesting. All right, we got to touch on this just for a second. People still have no idea what these yellow planes are doing that are flying over Marion. I don't know if there's going to be any more flights this week, but they're just spraying for the gypsy moth. But I'll tell you, people have kind of went crazy with these planes up in the air. They get on Facebook. They don't know what they are. It scares them to death. It's a real thing, these yellow planes that are flying low all over the county of Marion. And it's funny in a way, because I even hate to repeat this on the air, but I actually saw a post yesterday from somebody, and I don't know if they were doing it in a comedy way, I hope they were, or if they were trying to be serious. They didn't LOL it, which usually, you know, makes it funny. But essentially it was that they were dropping coronavirus on Marion. I hope that was supposed to be a joke, because really, it's just all about the gypsy moth. That's all it is. It's happened before, and it is what it is. So if you see the yellow planes again overhead anytime in your life, just know that they are spraying for the gypsy moth. Now, here's the housekeeping I got to do. I got to do housekeeping on three different issues this morning. It's kind of fascinating. Okay, a week ago on this program, and we've had this conversation before about bratwurst, it's my contention that boiling bratwurst in beer does not change the taste of the bratwurst. But some people have been doing it forever, and they swear that it does change the taste of the bratwurst. Now, the people at Carly's in Bucyrus during the Bratwurst Festival 1 year told me, boil the bratwurst, drink the beer. That's what they said. And I thought, well, these people have been in the bratwurst business for years and years and years, so I'm going to have to believe them. Well, one of our listeners, who I believe is listening right now, Monday, is incensed about this topic a little bit. That, yes, beer does change the taste of the bratwurst. So, What this listener did was prepared bratwurst that have been boiled in beer and prepared bratwurst that have not been boiled in beer. And I believe there's even a third option, bratwurst that has been boiled in wine, although we know which has been boiled in wine because there is a little different tint to the bratwurst once it's been boiled in wine. So what we're going to do when Glenn Coble gets in here, because I know which bratwurst is which. I know which is the plain, I know which has been boiled in beer, and I know which has been boiled in wine. And I think Glenn will know which has been boiled in wine, too, because of the color of the bratwurst. But I'm going to give Glenn all three of these bratwurst, and I'm going to see if he can tell me which one has been boiled in beer and which one has not been boiled in beer, and if in his opinion, he can tell the difference taste-wise. So we're going to work on this. From 10 until noon today. So you're not going to want to miss that for love nor money. So that's all I'm going to say about that particular subject right now, because we're going to bring that up more on the 10 to noon show today. And I don't think Glenn knew he was doing this. So Glenn's probably finding out about this right now as he's driving in here, hearing that he'll be part of the great bratwurst test this morning to see if beer does change the taste of bratwurst. Do you think it does? What do you think's going to happen? If you have an opinion on this, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think's going to happen with the Great Bratwurst Challenge today? Now, honestly, call your friends, call your neighbors, call your grandma, call your kids, whoever. Call any family member you know, call your coworkers in, and tell them from 10 to noon today, we're going to solve the great bratwurst debate that has been going on since time and memoriam. So get ready for that. No other radio show this morning, I guarantee you, in America, will be doing that type of taste test. So get ready. And again, we thank the person who made those bratwurst. That is important. Now, speaking of food, which we do a lot on this show, yesterday we talked about apple butter donuts. And I don't know if this can be done. I know I have not seen any yet. But we're wondering if apple butter donuts can be created. I don't know if they can be or not. So yesterday we came to the idea that what you would have to do is make a donut and then somehow squirt the apple butter in there, and that the best topping would either be powdered sugar or possibly cinnamon. And then there was some talk of them being apple, cinnamon, butter donuts, apple, butter, cinnamon donuts. I don't know exactly how you would pronounce it, but there's some talk of that going on. Now, I think these experimentations that might have went on last night might have failed because I don't see any donuts around. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not a big donut person, but I am a big apple butter person, so I would be willing to give those a stab, but I don't see anything as of yet, so they definitely, it could have been a fail last night on the apple butter creation. Now, the other thing, you know, I talk about this a lot, because I don't really... Well, how should I say this? I don't want to tell people to bring me breakfast. I just like that people know what I like for breakfast. I like the fact that I will say my close friends know what I like for breakfast. If I'm going to go in the morning and I'm going to get breakfast somewhere, what am I going to order? And the people who know what I'm going to order, I say, oh, those are my close friends. And the people who show up with that stuff, the food, because I always say my favorite type of food is free food. So anybody who shows up with that particular type of food, I get excited about, because it's nice sometimes when you're doing a long shift to have some nice free food. So that's always a nice thing. And it's nice that you don't have to tell somebody what your favorite breakfast is. So, you know, from time to time we like this. From time to time we like a pop here and there. You know, it's one of those things. It's just a nice gesture. So that's all I'm saying. I'm getting these messages. I love these messages. But it's so good that people are listening. I appreciate that more than anything else. But I'll tell you, this breakfast thing has really become an issue because, you know, I did get a deli bar on Friday from Jeff Ruth, so I appreciate the deli bar. But the donuts, I don't know about the donuts. I can't say what's going to happen with the donuts. We will see what happens. That's all I'm saying. Oh, and last night, let me tell you something. Yesterday, I had a very interesting meeting. And I hate that I can't tell you anything about it yet. But I had a very interesting meeting about some things that are coming up very soon. And now I can almost put a date with a lot of these things. Things are going to start percolating here around June the 3rd. Now, here's why I think it's July the 3rd. If they would have started on June the 3rd, we'd already be there. July the 3rd. Now, here's why I think they're going to start percolating around July the 3rd. Number one, we don't have a fair this year. So I think people are a little upset about that. And number two, I think that we don't have Red, White, and Boom. So there's that, because that usually happens on July the 3rd. But there are some big things happening that are going to start July the 3rd. They're not going to stop July the 3rd, but they're going to start July the 3rd, and they are going to carry over for quite a while. And they're exciting things. And I was able to have those meetings yesterday, and trust me, as soon as I'm able to tell you, as soon as I can let the cat out of the bag, although why you would ever put a cat in a bag, I really don't understand. Is that what the saying is? Am I mispronouncing the saying, let the cat out of the bag? Isn't that the saying? Cat out of the bag? Why would anybody know... why would anybody say, let the cat out of the bag? What is that? Cat out of the bag. Why would you put a cat in a bag? You know, sometimes you say these things and then you think about them and you say, why is anybody saying that? I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Okay. If you know about that, if you know why we're putting cats in bags, let me know. 740-383-9944. Okay. So that's a little bit of mess from yesterday we need to clear up. You know, I just got a message. It's kind of interesting. It says, you already know that I'm your closest friends and know what you like. Now, see, I don't know if they meant to say I'm one of your closest friends or I am your closest friend. See, I don't know what that means. I'll have to be filled in. Now, this is somebody listening through the magic of Facebook. I got that message. But I don't... I'm reading it properly, let me tell you. You already know that I'm your closest friends and know what you like. Now, I'm one of your closest friends or I'm your closest friend? I don't know. No S. Oh, okay. So I'm your closest friend. Oh, well, that's nice. I'm glad somebody knows what I like, because that's important in life. You hate to have to keep repeating yourself and describing things over and over and over. Okay, so now we've done that. We've done that little bit of business. But July the 3rd, get ready. Big things happening, and I hope that I'll be able to fill you in before the week is over. That's my goal, because that'll give me a week to really... tell you what's going to start happening on July the 3rd. There'll be no Red, White, and Boom this year. There'll be no fair. But I'll tell you, there'll be things going on that are very interesting and a lot of fun. So, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in on any of that. Okay, what else yesterday besides the donuts do we have to go back and correct that I got emails about? We have to talk about this again. Now, here's why. Okay, yesterday I ran into a group of people who heard me talking about the whole picture situation on the air. And trust me, I'm spending very little time on this today because I've already spent too much time on this in the last 2 days. But essentially, I asked the question yesterday, This all started because on Sunday morning, I got a funny looking picture from somebody that basically said, I hope this makes you smile. And I said, what a nice thing to do. That's nice. That's a nice thing to do for a friend. But then we got into the description and that we are in the internet age and some people send provocative pictures now to their boyfriends, girlfriends, friends in general, try to get shock, whatever. And they get fired and lose their jobs and get in trouble. And is this really important? Is this a good thing to do? So there's that. And the conversation yesterday came up, well, what if you're in a swimsuit? What if you're in a bikini? What if you are taking a picture in that kind of outfit? Is that considered a provocative outfit? Is that a provocative picture that could get you fired or lose your job if you send it to somebody privately? Because certainly if you were walking on the beach, nobody'd think anything of it. I got bombarded yesterday when I went out about this particular question. And, you know, people feel very differently about it. Some people say, well, no, you know, you wear a bikini, it's just like clothes. Why would that be a big issue if you wanted to send yourself a picture, if you wanted to send a picture of yourself in a bikini to somebody? And then other people said, no, because you're not taking that picture on a beach. You're taking it privately, and you're taking it for a specific purpose. So, yes, it is a provocative picture. I don't know if it is or not. I really don't know. Here's my philosophy on those things. Again, just to be clear on my, and if anybody wants to weigh in on this, heavens knows, let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All those pictures, let me tell you first of all, here's what those pictures are about, deep down. It really, you got to trust the person that they're not going to turn you in or they're not going to turn the pictures over. Okay, that's number one. That's why you do it. And number two, you're usually doing it to get a reaction in some way. That's why you're doing it. Now, sometimes the reaction can be shock. Usually it is shock. Because you're trying, it's either shock in a good way or shock in a bad way or shock in a funny way, but you're trying to throw the person a loop to, I guess, let them see you in a different way. I guess that's what's going on. I think that's what's going on. So I don't know. Here's my, I just think that if you want to do it, but know who you're doing it with. Know who you are sending those pictures to. And yes, I understand there are hackers, and yes, I understand that there are people out to get you, but you've also got to understand that there are instances where you are sending pictures to people who it would be very hard to hack, and if they're not giving them the pictures, then it's probably not going to turn on you. You know, all these cases I've ever heard where people got, I don't want to say humiliated, because I don't know that these people who've gotten fired are humiliated, but these people who've gotten wronged, usually it's by somebody they know. Usually it's an ex-boyfriend, or it's somebody they sent the pictures to. Usually it's not internet hackers, because most people are not that smart. To be honest with you, most people have to be given things. Most people are not breaking in to your email and things of that nature. They might say that because they don't want to implicate somebody else, but go back and look at all the stories over time in which provocative photos have gotten out of somebody. It's usually when they finally trace it back and the police get involved, if there are charges that are able to be filed, usually when you lose your job, that's when you start to file civil suits and things of that nature. What you will usually find is that the person got those pictures from somebody, because it's very, I think the problem is, how would you know that the person was doing that? That becomes the problem. Because if it's not somebody you were close with, how do you know those pictures exist of the bazillions of pictures somebody has taken? Because usually if somebody's taking those type of pictures, they're taking a lot of other pictures too. How do you know they exist? And if you're taking the time to try to find those on somebody, like I can flat out lay this out. I've never taken a picture that is compromising. I don't take many pictures to begin with. So if you wanted to get at me going through my pictures, you're not going to find anything like that. So if somebody wanted to get at me, it would be a long day because there's no pictures. And I certainly would not tell somebody who disliked me or who I was uneasy with that I had ever taken a picture like that if I had. So that the hacking situation, it can happen. I'm not saying it can't happen because I think I know a situation where it did happen. But it's much more, that's a more complicated position because you've got to kind of know that the person has taken those pictures and that they did not whitewash them away. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those situations. But at some point, I think dignity comes in and you say, you know what? Those were not intended for the public. So the fact that somebody put them in the public, that's the bad person. And hopefully they get taken down quickly. I think a lot of those pictures you can't put on general Facebook anyway, that Facebook would yank them down rather quickly because a lot of kids have Facebook. So there are those standards. Thank goodness. Thank goodness we have some standards in life. 38 minutes past the hour. So that's all I'm saying when it comes to the pictures. So if you see me in society today and you want to talk about this topic further, I get it. But that's not really what it's about. It's not about provocativeness of a picture. It's about trying to make somebody happy, smile, as I said, on Sunday. Or it's just taking a picture that's kind of goofy, surprising them with a goofy picture. You know, I've had people send pictures of diet sodas to me, because that's a joke on me. That's a little shocking. I've had people send pictures of bacon and cups from Wendy's because I have so protested that Wendy's has bacon over the years. That's a funny picture to me. I have had, so it's not always about the person. I've had people send me pictures of themselves looking awful. You know, just hair in a mess and blah, 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 blah. You know what you get a lot of pictures of this time of year? I'm burning up, I'm sweating, and they take a picture just of them all sweaty. You know, just sweat running down their face, maybe a fan blowing on them. Sometimes people are creative in their pictures. So it's not even always about just that. So that's the picture story. So now we can move on past that into something else. Okay. Oh, the other thing I talked about yesterday, doing a little housekeeping on this. Okay, the massages. This was funny because I got so many messages yesterday on Facebook from people who listen to this show because of the conversation I did yesterday on massages. Now, in case you were not listening yesterday, the conversation I was having about massages was essentially, and I'm going to make this much smaller than yesterday to kind of encapsulate it, was years ago, and I'm talking probably 10 plus years ago, I knew a girl who was training, during the time I knew her, she became, I believe now, a masseuse is what she really was. I don't think she was a massage therapist. I thought about this last night because I was trying to figure out, because I've always wondered what the difference between a massage therapist and a masseuse was. And what I was telling the audience yesterday was the difference. I learned the difference because I was watching a show the other night between a massage therapist and a masseuse. A massage therapist is somebody who knows a part of the body is injured, and they're working on that part of the body continuously to loosen it up and make the person better. And a masseuse is somebody who's just trying to make the person feel overall better. that they're going over the entire body to try to loosen up everything from the toes to the top of the head. That's the big difference. And I was saying the comic nature of this to me is that if you've ever seen somebody come out of a steam room at like a golf course or a gym or a Y where they do offer massages, usually you're dealing with a masseuse. Because the masseuse is not there to concentrate on a particular part of your body, and that's why you see a lot of people who are getting massages laying on that flat table with a towel over anything that would be objectionable, and the person just goes to work on the entire body. Okay, that's all I was talking about yesterday. So, the interesting thing is that... I said that while I knew this person, they gave me a lot of tips on how to do a good massage. And it's not like I'm giving a lot of people massages, to be honest with you. But the people who I have given them to have seemed to enjoy them. At least they tell me they enjoy them. Now, whether or not they're good, you never really know. But again, I'm going to tell you the secret, because this is what I got a lot of messages about. What's the secret to giving a good massage? Okay, it's pretty simple. You just can't be ginger with your massage. You have to really get in there and you have to really work on the muscles, because the whole problem with feeling bad wherever your pain is that you're tense, which a lot of times gives you a headache. It's the tenseness in your neck, it's the tenseness in your shoulders, it's the tenseness in your arms, your back, all over the place. And you cannot give a person a massage with hands like, you know, spaghetti. That ain't going to work, because you are not going to work out those muscles. You've got to push those muscles hard, and you've got to stretch those muscles to loosen them up to cause that tenseness to go away. So in a lot of ways, you do end up becoming a little bit of a contortionist, the person who's getting the massage, because a lot of times you have to stretch their arms and legs in particular directions that they normally would not be stretched to loosen them up. So that is the secret. That's what I was talking about yesterday. That's the whole reason that conversation came up. And also, what to me, what the difference between a massage therapist and a masseuse is. Those are the big differences. But it's fun to do that. And as I said, I also learned yesterday what the oils were, or Sunday. Was it Sunday? Sunday or Saturday. I also learned what the oils were all about. Because I always wondered why, because I've never, I am not that deep into the massage pool where I'm going to buy the oils that people rub on their back and things like that. I always wondered why people use the oils. And I learned that it really has to do with just making the skin moist so that your hands move around easier. Because a lot of times when the person is you know, like dry skin or something like that, or there is no... like they didn't just get out of the shower, like at the club or the Y, that it's hard to not, you know, move the skin up and down. So that is technically what the oils are for. And I guess there's also some therapeutic use for the oils that people use when they're giving a massage. So there's that. But you learn a lot when you watch programs of that nature. And that fascinated me because I knew this girl many, many years ago. And she was really good. But as I also said yesterday, I cannot take a massage. Now, she used to try to practice on my neck. And I don't know what it is. But when somebody starts to give me a massage, even just, you know, on the shoulders, I don't know. I tense up for some reason. I don't know what that is. I am just not good at taking a massage. But if you're ever going to give somebody a massage, well, try to know what you're doing, first of all, because you don't want to break somebody's back. You don't want to bend their arms and bend their neck and do all that and really put them in a bad way. But just remember, your hands have got to be more stern. They've got to be more solid. Now, if the person tells you that you're hurting them, you can loosen up a little bit. But you want to go just about as hard as the person can take it, because that's how you're going to loosen up those muscles. So that was the whole thing on massages yesterday, and I'm glad we went back and fixed that particular subject. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything out there to say in listener land? 47 minutes past the hour. What a morning this is. Kind of a go back and pick up some subjects morning. Now, yesterday I told you that I had something written down here, and I didn't know what it was, and then it came to me at the end of the show. And I had the word notes written down, and I could not remember why I had written the word notes down. Okay, here's why I wrote the word notes down. Two weeks ago, I got a note from somebody. Now, one of the old-fashioned notes that was actually written on paper. And the person wrote a note it was in a card, I think. And I thought this was great, because I saved stuff like that. Even if you end up disliking the person, or the person somehow goes in and out of your life, I like to keep stuff like that, because it's fascinating to me. I think it's important as time goes on to know what somebody said or thought at a particular date and time. So, what are we doing now in the email world? And are you sending notes to people in the email world? I wonder about that. I always wonder about that at Christmas time. Now, are people sending Christmas cards on the internet? Do people do it on birthdays now? Do people really go out and buy birthday cards? You know, I did notice on Father's Day this past weekend that a lot of people were out in the stores buying cards. I like to see that. Write a note in that card. Actually, last night, I went through a box that I wasn't planning to go through, and I found two cards in there that are at least 10 years old. And I looked at the cards, and, you know, they had little notes written in there, and they were actually from people that I don't see a whole lot anymore. But at that time, they were very big parts of my life, and it was kind of nice to read, go back into that time, go back into that moment, and remember what it was like. So I encourage everybody, here is your assignment for today. Whether it's on the internet or whether it's in a real card, whatever you can do, whatever you can afford, because some of this has become a financial issue, write somebody a note, a meaningful note. Tell them that they should print this off and put it in a box and always remember it. Because we don't do enough of that. I'm going to try today to write somebody a note. I'm going to follow my own assignment here, and I'm going to write somebody a note that has some meaning to it. Because I really think from time to time we assume people know how we feel about them, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they get a little confused by all the things that we say and all the things that we do and all the actions that we display as human beings on this earth. So, write a note to somebody, make it meaningful. You know, don't do it out of anger, don't do it out of spite, don't do it for that reason, but just do it. Write a note, say, you know what, this is important for me to do, to tell you this. If nothing else, I want you to know this. And if you do that, then I think you're going to find that the person's going to be surprised, the person's going to be happy, and the person will probably keep that note for the rest of their life, if they're worth anything. Now, there was something else I wanted to say there in regard to notes, and I cannot remember what it was. Maybe it'll come to me in the next 2 hours, because I'll be on with Glenn Coble this morning from 10 a.m. till 12 noon, so you're not going to want to miss that for love nor money. That'll be a real educational piece this morning with Bratwurst, so on and so forth. But it's been interesting this morning, because we don't know anything at this point about the apple butter donuts. That could be fascinating. We now have went back and recapped the massage and the picture controversy, which is always interesting. And now we've talked about the notes, which I had no idea what I was talking about yesterday, but I'm glad I was able to recall that memory and bring it up. Now, we have 8 minutes left in the show. If anybody has anything on their mind or anything they would like to say, give me a buzz here. I would be glad to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's fascinating in a way. The reason I think that I like when people know things about me, just little things. I'm not talking about big personal things. Just know things like what you like for breakfast, or what you like for dinner, or what you like to drink, or that's... When people know that, it shows they're paying attention. I think I said this last week, but it shows they're paying attention a little closer than other people. You know your birthday, go out of their way to be nice to you. And again, this doesn't have to be financial. That's always a big thing. It's not about the money you spend. That's a whole subject. You know, the money we spend on people, okay, if you want to, I guess, and if you have it, that's fine. But does that really mean anything in the long run? Now, I think it can mean something as far as when somebody doesn't have to do it and they're doing it to be helpful. Now, then it becomes more of a helpful issue and not more of a money issue. But I think sometimes people just do it to try to, I don't know, show they have money, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it. I think this is why I had buyer's remorse for so many years, is because I did not want anybody to know anything about my financials. I didn't like that. I didn't want to be the person who was, you know, doling out money to people or buying all kinds of things in front of people. I always felt that was kind of, I don't know, braggadocious, and maybe how I became less materialistic in a lot of different ways. But I don't know. I think some things just don't cost a lot of money. Have you ever noticed the important things in life really don't cost money? Caring about somebody doesn't cost any money. Writing somebody a note doesn't cost anybody any money. Being there for somebody doesn't cost any money. There are important events and moments in life that really don't cost any money at all, that become much more meaningful than just about anything else. Now, I've got a subject that I'm going to get into with Glenn today as well, that I think is going to be interesting, because it's a conversation that I've had recently with somebody else. So when Glenn and I get into it, I think it's going to be right up the alley of that 10 to noon show. Because it's one of the things that we have talked about several times, but never really gotten in to this philosophical of a conversation about it. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. 10 to noon today. And again, Glenn Coble of Progressive Life from 12 to 1. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4 to 5. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 until 7 today. Just remember, it's always the little things in life. And also, the most important thing that doesn't cost any money is trust. You've got to have trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have anything. And you know what? Suspicion is an awful thing. I don't even know if I have time to get into this, but I had a conversation with somebody maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I don't know if I have time to tell this story. We got like 4 minutes left in the program today. I really don't know if I have time to get into this about how things cost and I don't know. See, this is one of those moments where I'm my mind is racing faster than my mouth is here as we approach the last 3.5 minutes. And also, I tried to answer a message there, which is always the death. When I try to answer a message on the computer, I always have to divert my attention from what I'm doing. So here we go. I was having a conversation a couple weeks ago with somebody about suspicion. And you know what? Whether or not the person is guilty of doing what they're doing or not, that you suspect it means something is wrong. Now, again, whether or not they're doing it, that's irrelevant. There's something about their behavior that is making you suspect it. And when you suspect it, it changes your feeling toward that person. And when that happens, you start to treat that person a lot differently. And maybe you care a lot about that person, but all of a sudden you don't care as much anymore because you think there's some dishonesty going on and you're very, very suspicious of their behaviors. So there's much more to it than that, but it's fascinating. That is a really fascinating subject to me because what causes suspicion? You know, suspicion is usually triggered by something, but do you let it overcome you or do you get past it? That essentially becomes the issue. Now, don't forget, we've got the big bratwurst challenge coming up here in about 15 minutes. Do bratwurst boiled in beer taste any different than plain bratwurst? Did you hear about the bratwurst challenge? Are you excited? Oh, do you think you'll be able to taste any difference?
No.
You don't?
No.
Because that's the what I always hear is drink the beer, boil the bratwurst. And you're an honest man, so you'll give us the honest opinion.
Some people don't think so.
You'll give us the honest skinny on this, Glenn. It's going to be interesting today here, 10 to 12. And we're going to have a whole I wrote down this topic because we've beat around the bush on this topic for a long time, but we're going to go right at it today. It's a good topic. It's a good philosophical conversation. Have you enjoyed the show this morning? I've been very philosophical this morning on everything. I think we have to be that way on radio from time to time. We have to be educational. We have to be informative. We have to paint the studio. I don't know what we're doing. But here we are. You know what? Glenn Coble and I will be coming up here in about 10 minutes. And then, of course, Glenn will be on today from 12 to 1 with A Progressive Life. And I'll be on... No, I won't be on tonight. Nate Redman will be on tonight. Offbeat News and Trivia from 4 to 5 p.m. in the Trinity Baptist Church. Sunday sermon from 6 till 7. I also hope you enjoyed Andrew Wyatt this morning talking about Bill Cosby getting an appeal granted. Now, will there be a new trial? We don't know. Will he be released? We don't know. Will nothing happen? We don't know. That's the whole skinny of this whole bit. We don't know. But we do know what Andrew had to say, and maybe very soon we'll be hearing from Bill Cosby in the future. How about that? From his current state in prison. We're coming back in about 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed with your professional enthusiasm, and you're doing what I used to do, just, you know, drive people crazy until they finally say yes and do the show. That, I mean, really, that shows a lot.
Well, I
more